What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting. Today, we're talking about screen time. Is it actually that bad for kids? What information is out there from a scientific perspective? We put our thoughts out there, along with that of others, to the test and have some surprising insights into the world of screen time. Stick around and listen as a couple of flawed dads try not to screw up their kids too bad. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Graham.
We're going to talk about screen time today. And I think it's important to talk about because basically we already had this conversation to a degree just recently. And I think it's something on all of our minds as parents. So,
well, particularly during COVID times when our kids are in front of screens more than they've ever been before.
Almost by necessity,
yeah.
For sure. And so anyways, I think we'll start with sharing the story that you shared with me not that long ago, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I was expressing my frustration to you, Graham. One of my daughters, you know, we've pretty much banned certain technologies or at least apps from our house. Like YouTube is out in our house because...
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. For the kids because of the... negative reaction we get from them. It is so well designed, and I say that with all affection towards Google. It is so well designed that it is addictive for children,
right?
And particularly it seems so for my kids. So over the weekend we broke down and allowed our middle daughter, 8 years old, to use a computer for YouTube for, it was probably two and a half hours,
mm-hmm.
While we were all the rest of us were busy doing something else. She woke up the next morning at 5:45 a.m. and came rolling into our room begging for technology so that she could get back on YouTube. Like it for our kids, YouTube is like heroin. And it has such a negative impact. And so we've gone straight to banning it again. But this isn't the first time we've had this problem. We've had the same problem with things like Roblox, for our oldest daughter.
Okay.
She gets hooked on it. And the attitude that we get after a certain period of time on, certain programs just seems to get totally out of hand. And we wind up going through this boom bust cycle of allowing technology and then disallowing it. And we haven't been able to nail down what exactly we should be doing with technology. And a big part of that is because my wife and I, as we've discussed in our previous episode about different parenting styles, have very different ideas on how screen time and technology should play a role in our kids' lives.
And okay, so explain that a little bit. Where do you sit?
So I would sit on the side of technology being a good thing for the kids to use. And I think we'll get into that a little bit later. Whereas Rachel would likely follow what the doctors are saying. You know, I was in preparation for this conversation. I was looking up what the Mayo Clinic thinks about kids and how much screen time they should be having. And their argument was that children between the ages of 0 and 6 should have less than an hour of screen time per day. And particularly children below the age of 2 should have 0 screen time.
Right.
The only screen time they should have would be things like FaceTiming grandparents during COVID, but that a parent should be there with them, explaining to them what it is that they're seeing.
Okay.
Right, to contextualize what that technology is being used for. Children between 6 and 18 should have less than 2 hours of screen time a day. And you and I discussed this before, and I think it's interesting to think that what they're really arguing for is that screen time diminishes other opportunities.
Right. And do you know much more, the study or the recommendation, et cetera? They talk about 2 hours per day between 6 and 18.
Yeah.
That was the age range?
Yeah, they didn't differentiate between, six and 10.
That's a wide range.
Yeah. Well, and think about
particularly because the day and age that we live in now, is it all across? Or are they designated screen time to be like mindless watching YouTube? Or like, because of course people are... children now are using laptops and schoolwork is now part of that. I mean, up to 18, 2 hours seems like you could blow an hour on that easily.
Yeah.
Just dealing with homework related activities.
I would be on the side of thinking that some of these studies are probably a little short-sighted with regards to understanding how technology plays a role in our lives going forward.
I'm going to challenge that you referenced study. I don't think it's actually a study.
Well, they did cite a study. It's by the WACP or something like that. It's it was an organization that the Mayo Clinic was associated with, where they did pull down some information about the impact. But I don't think there was any concrete, you know, results of how it impacts the brain or anything like that. It's more that the children were missing out on alternative opportunities. So, you know, a child who is engaging in screen time isn't out developing social skills, I would argue, but you know, that was their argument.
Right.
Additionally, they're not developing creative play. They're not exercising.
Yeah.
It also indicated that there was a higher BMI for every additional hour per day that kids spent on technology.
Now that part makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily like to point the blame on screen time necessarily is, maybe not the best. It makes sense. If you're lying on the ground,
mm-hmm.
For 2 hours every day or 3 hours every day, you're probably, your BMI is going to be going up as well.
Yeah. Reading is an alternative, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, reading. So maybe there is have they looked at that as well?
Can you imagine putting out an article saying that reading is destructive to your child? Like, there is no way that's going to get any traction.
It kills physical activity. You're not socializing, right?
Yeah.
Your BMI increases, et cetera. All, I think, equally valid, frankly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, I feel like it's a buzz topic to a degree, and I'm not blaming it. I am for, in our household, we try and keep it to 30 minutes. Now our children are younger, right? Our oldest is 6 again, and the youngest is 2.5. Both love, I totally hear you on the YouTube side of things. Mm-hmm. Man, that thing is amazing at the, no matter how many filters and things, the YouTube Kids app, I've locked that down a lot more.
Yeah.
But you know, the problem is, great, you can lock down the app specifically,
mm-hmm.
but then they just realize to minimize the bullshit app and then open up the real YouTube and find their trashy stuff again. Like, it doesn't, there's no way to actually fix the app directly and say, no, like, there's nothing else you can use. It's this app or you turn the thing off.
Or they
off.
Figure out how to go through the browser. That's what my kids did.
Right.
Is they figured out that there were restrictions on the apps. And so they just went to the browser and skirted the entire thing.
Right.
Right. So then I had to start restricting the browser and all of that too.
There's so many things. I'm tangenting a little bit, but just how the ingenuity of
they're geniuses.
Restrictions or whatever.
Yeah.
A while ago, I was reading about how Google Docs
mm-hmm.
Have become a far more prevalent chat feature. Okay, amongst kids within classes, et cetera, because there's no filter, there's no restrictions, there's no cutoffs there. So everyone's using the Google Chats.
Okay.
And the documents to actually say things, and then they delete them and whatever. There's no history, there's no anything. Like, it's a...
They're able to hide it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. So I was just looking at something here, and it says that there's a paper published in the journal Pediatrics, found a link, researchers at the CHEO Research Institute in Ottawa found kids who use screens more than recommended and who do not sleep enough were more likely to act impulsively and make poorer decisions. Now, the fact that it correlates between, you know, not getting enough sleep, so the combination of an overuse of technology and lack of sleep, I think anybody with a lack of sleep is going to act impulsively.
Right.
I mean, they've done studies on that, and it's essentially the same as torture. So maybe discredit the study a little bit, but...
Yeah, the only argument that you could see potentially tying the two is that there've definitely been, I've read about the fact that, you know, the blue light and all the things that if you have screen time going before you go to sleep, then it does affect your sleep. It takes longer for you to go to sleep, and it affects your quality of sleep and things like that.
Yeah.
So if that study is saying, like, you turn on the screen time and it lets you put you to sleep, like you have the TV in your room, you're watching it, and then you fall asleep type stuff. Okay, maybe you can see that, but I have a feeling that it probably isn't tying that directly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's another one here. There's a professor at the University of Calgary, Sherry Madigan, and she studied screen time. So her work was more focused on childhood development, not on behaviors, but her team commonly found from parents about how difficult it is to get their children off a screen without a fight. But again, it's mostly anecdotal evidence around the impact of technology on kids. It's not, it's not, you know, actual study based, as you were pointing out earlier.
Well, we can talk for sure about how difficult it is to remove them. Now, on our side, in our family, it's a lot better. Our 6-year old, she understands now. Like, if I ask, okay, the time is up, and we put a timer, whatever it is, timer goes off, she closes that iPad most of the time, and there's no complaints or anything like that.
Yeah.
The 2.5-year-old, that's more of a 2.5-year-old thing. You need to, they're not aware of the countdown. They're not aware of the timer because it's so instantaneous for them.
Yeah.
Then she loses her mind if you close it off. But if we give her, hey, we're going to turn off in 1 minute, she probably gets into a little bit of barding. How about 2 minutes? She's into that phase already.
Yeah.
And then she has to actively turn the thing off herself. If we do it for her, loses her mind. If it's like, all right, Kendra, do you want to turn off, or do you want us to turn off? She's like, I'll turn it off. And then she closes it.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Control.
Choices, control. Yeah. And that goes back to what I've talked about a few times before. Yeah. Anytime you can give a 2-3-year-old choices, it settles. I'm a master at that. My wife still hasn't necessarily fully mastered that. She had a problem tonight, for example, getting her pajamas on, and I started to come in. Okay, you don't want to put whatever it on? What do you want to put your head on? The shirt, do you want to go over your head first, or you put your arms on first? Head first. Okay, great. Now you put your arms through. Okay, what about, do you want your pants? Like, it was options. Absolutely. I cannot talk more about
that. Yeah.
I'm tangenting, I know.
It's reinforced very well. So I want to ask you, what do you think about using screen time as a carrot and stick mechanism?
Go on. Hey, do your chores and you'll get this.
Yeah. That's how we have it in our house. So there's popsicle sticks. Yeah. In a jar. So there's a jar full of popsicle sticks and an empty jar. And the kids pull a popsicle stick out of the jar, and it has a chore written on it. And the chore also has a coinciding amount of time for technology. So, you know, vacuuming their bedroom, as an example, gets them 15 minutes of screen time. Vacuuming the stairs gets 10 minutes of screen time. Vacuuming the living room gets 30 minutes of screen time. Doing the dishes, you know, those sorts of things. There's certain things that are expected without any screen time reward, but then there's a bunch of household tasks,
right?
Like helping fold the laundry, that they then earn additional screen time for, because we have a maximum 45 minutes per day of screen time during school days that they're allowed to use.
Okay.
And so they can earn additional time. In addition, if they act like assholes, you know, some of that screen time gets taken away.
Right.
So it's full scale, like carrot and stick. Like, you know, when you and I were growing up, it was allowance that drove us, right? You got $3 a week or whatever happened to be. And if you did more chores, you got a bit more money. If you didn't do your chores, guess what? You didn't get your fucking allowance. Right. Now, they don't care about money. At least my kids don't. I mean, they're significantly more driven by experience, right? By technology. I guess that makes them true Gen Z kids, right? Than they are driven by money. And so...
So what are my thoughts?
Yeah.
I guess... So I am influenced by a book that
We haven't really gotten into it yet in any of these podcasts, but there's a book by an author called Amy McCready. And to me, it's the best parenting book that I've ever read. It has so many interesting parts. And I can't help but be, I suppose, influenced. I guess I share somewhat their thoughts, but anyways. Is the fact that you're tying, it's essentially like allowance as well, in that you're tying an activity that should be done already. Nobody likes to do household chores, right? It's just something that needs to get done. Listen, can we all agree we don't want to live in filth? So therefore, vacuum needs to get done, right? Clothes need to get washed.
Yeah, see, I don't think my kids would care. I think they would perfectly happily live in filth, and they just...
Well, and they can probably wear you down.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, and they would probably say that. But at the end of the day, there is always something or other that the food needs to get cooked.
Fair enough.
Right? Yeah. Like, there is a limit that people... There's a basic need there, yeah. Right? Listen... We do these things, right, because it's part of the family. It's an overall obligation. We all need to contribute here. Otherwise, it's our job is not to be your servants type stuff, right? And by putting the work associated to some type of activity, then it removes the, like, no, we're all part of the team. This book okay. talks about something calling out family contributions. And we're digressing a little bit here, but... It's just, this is a part of the family thing. So I cringe a little bit with the fact that you're tying do this, whatever, because then it's not like, oh, I'd really like to help out and just do it. Like cutting the lawn. Okay. But I'm tangenting a little bit here, but I remember my friend would not cut his parents' lawn unless he was getting paid. He's like, well, I'm not going to do, or just any activity.
Right.
I'm not doing this unless I'm getting paid something or other. And I cut my parents' lawn all the time. I enjoy cutting the lawn.
Yeah.
But I was never at all in my right mind thinking that I should get paid for it. It was just something that needs to get done. I enjoyed doing it. So I did it.
It had an intrinsic value versus an extrinsic value for you.
Yeah. Sure. And that was just okay. What I would do. And I remember being so baffled by the fact that he was essentially demanding money for some type of work when I'm like, hey, dude, like, don't you just help your parents out for this one particular thing? And that's what I'm hoping to foster a little bit there. Sure. So that to me, I feel like it's more of a slippery slope.
Yep.
My opinion.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's why I asked.
So, so it's interesting as well from the back to the study side.
Yeah.
There's an actual study. So this is my mind-boggling in terms of just the money that's floating around. Okay, the United States, the government has financed something called the ABCD study. Okay, it's the National Institute of Health. They've put $300 million into this long-term study about screen time. It is boss. That, like, I don't know what the record is for studies-wise, but that seems like it's going to be up there in terms of the cost. Like, that is a huge sum of money.
For a non-like terminal disease study, yeah, for sure. Right,
yeah. And so I think they're starting with 9- and 10-year-olds. And they're tracking these 9- and 10-year-olds all the way up to at least past 18, 19. Like, it's a long-term study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? there's one point that they talked about. That they did show that there were significant changes to brain development.
Okay.
For children watching screens more than 7 hours a day.
Right. 7 hours.
7 hours. Now... Hey, there are some times where we all just want a veg out day. Mm-hmm. I get it. But with school and maybe summertime, I don't know. I'm trying to grasp how 7 hours a day is possible. Again, not COVID pandemic related times where classes are online and all mm-hmm. the like that. That's kind of a asterisk there. Like, you can't do anything about that. But to me, like, again, of course there's going to be changes in the brain if you're on a screen for 7 hours
a day. Well, if you're doing anything for 7 hours a day, it's going to affect your brain.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly. So what they've also saw, at least initially, and the study is clearly nowhere close to the end of it. I think they started in 2018, maybe. So the prefrontal cortex, okay? So that's the part of the brain that's responsible for emotional regulation and like impulse control, right? Figuring that stuff out. That develops at the last phase, a part of the brain in children.
Okay.
It's actually more mature in children who spend screen time playing video games.
Interesting.
Yeah. It didn't really go on into the reasons why they thought that was the case.
Right. They may not have uncovered that in the study yet.
What my feeling is that video games, it treats you that it reinforces the fact that just try again.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Yeah, you died. It's cool. Try again.
Right.
Like, it's all right. Breathe. Try again type stuff. Whereas the real world seems to be more about like...
A little harsh.
Yeah. It's I didn't do well and it's the end of the world. I can't reset. I can't restart the game, etc. Time has passed, right? And I don't get that time back. Whereas in computer world, you can.
I think that's one of the reasons that my oldest daughter, who, you know, suffers from anxiety, enjoys it so much, is that mistakes made in that world don't impact her.
Right.
Exactly. And so she can let them go so quickly.
That's what I love about computers is that I feel like I just undo. There's an undo, but like it's a time machine world. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
except for sending nudes. That's not something you
can do. Not a time machine. Yeah. No, that's tough.
So don't do that.
If there's anything to take from this podcast. and so they also saw that kids, saying that 9 or 10 year olds who use their screen time essentially to be social, right? Mm-hmm. So they're video chatting, they're texting, et cetera, right? So they actually reported less sleep problems and more physical activity than some of their peers. That's what it said.
Okay.
And
that's an interesting correlation, not one that I would have pictured.
Yeah. And then the other point was that they didn't see any real significant relationship between screen times and kids' participation in extracurricular activities.
Okay.
So
it wasn't it. What they're saying is that screen time wasn't a direct detriment to outside activities.
Right.
Okay.
Once they controlled for all the other demographic factors.
Sure. Okay.
And that's the other part that I think is, it's so hard to isolate any one of these things.
Yeah.
Right. That we just talked about to begin with.
Like, yeah.
That is a tough thing. And so this individual, that was actually just talking about this to a degree. She also said that within the scientific community, there's not really there's not a whole lot of information out there about the causes and effects of screen time on development of the brain, which I found was interesting, right? So a lot of times there are these recommendations that come out about, hey, you should only do this and this. But it's not necessarily based on a whole bunch of things. It's just based off of, I feel like this is about right. Now, there's some common sense as well. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that I'm not sitting on the board saying, hey, kids should be able to have 5 hours a day of screen time and just let them rip.
Yeah.
I think moderation, balance is always the way to go.
Yeah.
But I'm changing my mind a little bit on the screen time itself, and thinking that, you know what, I might loosen the leash a little bit under these next parameters that I can get into in a little bit too. But what are your thoughts? Anything else?
I'm right in agreement with that. I think the idea of limiting access to technology for kids that are going to grow up in a world that is so technology focused that taking it away from them entirely or having too strict of limits is going to really, it's really going to hamper them in their future. I mean, you think about how much time you and I spend on computers on a daily basis for our jobs and all that sort of stuff. Like it's just a necessary part of society now.
Yeah.
That if you, by giving our kids a bit more time and experience with those sorts of things, we're potentially giving them a leg up to be able to engage in technology with peers or even advance and develop new technologies that we wouldn't have if we straight up took it away from them.
And that's where that I agree with for sure. And I think that is the real key at the end of the day, is that actually getting them to learn and challenging them a little bit about watching those unwrapping videos.
Yeah.
Right? Of like this LOL surprise doll getting open for the bazillionth time.
Yeah.
And what's going to be inside this time? And mm-hmm. that dopamine hit all the time.
Yeah.
That's not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah.
Right? But interactive play
mm-hmm.
or getting... having the children to actually explain what it is that they were just talking about,
yeah.
getting into their world a little bit, even talking about the Roblox session, like what happened there? Were there any frustrations? Like, and incorporating that a little bit more into that aspect. I think that is the real,
I have key. Something with regards to that. I want to ask you, have you seen on Netflix, the Bear Grylls, interactive, video series?
No.
So Bear Grylls, the survival guy, right?
Okay.
Has a program on Netflix that you can go into where kids, it's made specifically for kids.
All right.
Where it's a choose your own adventure series.
Okay.
And so
I'm already interested.
It's an interactive one where you have to use a remote. So it doesn't work on Apple TV, but it works on things like Roku or if you've got Netflix through your TV service. He'll give you three choices and then he plays out each one of them. And so you can do the story over and over again, choosing the different choices, coming to recognize what are the right choices for you in order to survive in these different situations.
So it's like those books back in the day that we had, the choose your own adventure.
It's things. Video based. And so I think one of the big challenges that a lot of people have with technology is that particularly screen time, is that it's not allowing you create the creative process because it's all predetermined for you, right? You're watching somebody else's story.
Right.
But this is choice-based. So you have to use your imagination. You have to use critical thinking in order to move forward with it. And I think that's where technology goes and how screen time becomes a part of education in the future is that it will be interactive screen time.
Right.
And that I am completely supportive of. I can see screen time becoming such a massively important part of our education in the future.
Even the Wii, I mean, back in the day when that first came out. And I think that's the one thing that is not necessarily spoken about too much is the ingenuity that exists and it's going on over time. I mean, back when the television first came out, I'm sure there was a whole lot of talks about like this television thing, like it's no good.
Yeah.
Right. My kids are glued to this thing and they're not doing anything. They barely breathe. Like I don't think they swallow, right? Like all these things, right? And then Fred Rogers comes out with his magical show.
Yeah.
Right? Where he's slowing down and he's talking to like you specifically almost, it feels like. How was your day? He pauses, he talks about emotions and all these different things and uses that method or medium to speak to so many children that changed a lot of people's lives as a result. That was a game changer to a degree. And then came Sesame Street and Blue's Clues, I think, as well. There's a whole bunch of things that have come from that.
Yeah.
Some trash as well.
Oh, definitely.
Well, but there are a lot of good things too.
Trash sells. I mean, much like those LOL videos that you were talking about on YouTube, You know,
I hate those
voices.
There's
a reason
too.
They've got 11.8 million views and that sort of thing. And
there's always the same voice.
Yeah.
That high pitched thing.
Squeaky.
I cannot stand it. Oh, I lose my mind just thinking about it.
So how are parents supposed to decide how much screen time they're going to expose their kids? I was reading an article. So it's a pediatrician named Dr. Jenny Radesky. And she writes about this thing called the 3 C's. Okay.
All right.
For determining how much screen time to give your kids. And basically this breaks down into child, content, and context. So her argument is that you know your child the best, so you should be determining how much and what sort of content your child is consuming based on their personality. So she gives an example. If your child suffers from a lot of anxiety, so my kids are a great example of that, try to avoid scary situations that are going to further enhance that anxiety,
right?
Look for more calming things. So as an example for the girls, we've been playing Iron and Wine music videos, right? Because it's a very tranquil kind of calming music.
Yeah.
And the girls love it. So it plays in the background. The next is content, which, you know, similar to what I was just talking about, is the idea of ensuring that it is the right quality for the right quality content for the kids. So it says for young kids, you know, make sure you're using things like PBS Kids, organizations such as Common Sense Media, the Monterey Bay Aquarium and Cincinnati Zoo have you know, videos of the animals and interactive sort of stuff that they can be looking at. You know, there's lots of eagle cams and all that kind of stuff that are moving away from the unwrapping and unboxing videos on YouTube. And then the next one is context. And that's really about engagement from the parents. So just as you were suggesting, you know, talking to my oldest about what's happening in Roblox and having her explain to me what's going on and, you know, engaging and creating interest and having her develop out, vocabulary to explain why it's happening, what she thinks about happening, and create imaginative solutions to problems she's facing inside of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you're incorporating, you're actually speaking to them a little bit about things, trying to get them to share or explain what happened. That's one thing I'm trying to do with my daughter, as well as trying to get them, hey, so what is it that you watched just recently? Try and actually get some recall going. How'd you feel there, et cetera, et cetera. Actually get some conversation going.
Right.
Interesting as well, back to the same study that I was talking about, this 300 mil study. They did also see that children who have underlying mental health issues, as screen time increased, there was also an association with the increase in behavior problems.
Right, which would make sense in my household, given that I have a child with anxiety, a child with depression, you know, which is why we try to control the amount of screen time.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have 7 hours on average of screen time. Otherwise, the behavior just gets completely out of control.
Unless it's, I mean, have you ever, whether at this past your age at this point, but Go Noodle?
Have you heard of that? I haven't seen it.
It's a YouTube channel, but it's basically them dancing to different songs.
Okay.
And my six-year-old, she'll put that on and she'll be dancing that whole time while watching it. And to me, I'm like, hey, you
dance away.
Have at it, right? Yeah. That there's no clock on this right now. Like, you are booging up, like you're sweating, etc. My 2.5-year-old, though, she's on the couch and watching it, which is that's tough. We have to cut this off here because she's just sitting here like a slug. Like,
yeah,
you gotta get a little older here. Certain songs she'll do it, but
yeah,
others she'll just sit there. Her energy level for dancing is lower at this point, at least. So just a side tangent, but sort of back to that Wii or other games where
it incorporates other skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's movement involved and some things like that. Like, have you ever done some of those exercise programs on, like, that are sort of gamified?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, this is, we just have a Wii. We don't have any of the newer systems at all. And there's one that's like an outdoor challenge. It's game based. And it's like skipping rope and all these other things. And you get, there's puffing going on. Like, I'm tired after doing a lot of them. Like, it's running in place, like hard doing a video game. You don't realize until that the game stops and you're gassed. Anyways, it's interesting. Anything else that do you have from a study based perspective?
No, that's it from the study side. I think it's really important for parents to understand that there isn't one right answer with regards to this. That, you know, the Mayo Clinic saying it must be less than 2 hours a day is like, I'm not sure. I think it depends on the kid.
And equality. I think we're very, it's, let's get some quality going in terms of.
The reality is technology is making it so that our kids will be able to take anything they are passionate about in their lives and turn it into a profession.
Yeah.
And if we don't allow them to embrace that technology, we limit their ability to do that, to take a passion and turn it into a profession. And so I think as much as we don't want to have mindless garbage screen time, they need to experience a variety of screen time and technology aspects in order to develop those skills so that they can be competitive in a global marketplace for their whatever skill set, you know, they enjoy doing in the future.
I wonder whether there's an argument as well. So this is totally anecdotal, but I have a friend that I used to work with, absolute chocoholic, candyholic, whatever, sugarholic, right? Mm-hmm. And their childhood was so restrictive based on sweets.
Yeah.
That they were just like, just not a thing, not a thing, not a thing. Like it was Halloween, they'd get a few bits. Like it was just, you didn't have it. And so then when they came out, they went absolute hog wild and still cannot get over treats. Like just eats, consumes it like nobody's business if it's around. And so you see where I'm going with this. The screen time as well. I mean, if I can leave a screen time on, or the screen's on, as long as the battery's still charged, my daughters will watch that indefinitely. And I just wonder whether, am I curbing that too much? Because I talked to another parent who had sort of the TV on in the background a lot of the time throughout the day, just sort of as a background noise. And it seems like from their perspective, kids don't really watch it.
They're
that
indifferent
much just
to
because
it.
It's like water, right? It's something that's always been around. What do you think of that?
I think that's actually a fair statement. I mean, again, anecdotal, but I think if you absolutely restrict something, your kids are going to move towards that because naturally through their teenage years, they want to rebel, right? They want to push boundaries. They want to experience and find themselves. And a big part of finding yourself is determining how far you can push past a boundary. And when they find out that, hey, technology gives me this massive dopamine hit, you know, they're going to continue to do that. And so you need to, I would agree that you need to expose them to it in order so you don't create this addictive type of thing.
Ah, this everything in balance and everything in moderation thing. It's not sexy, is it?
No, life is a perpetual battle to find balance. One of my dad's favorite sayings.
So, right.
Yeah.
Everything is easy when you just talk about it. You just have to...
Just have to find balance.
It's so easy. You just have to get them not watching the trash and something interactive and all these things. I mean, that all... Yeah, there are some times that sounds great. You could try as much... All we're trying to do as parents is do the best as we can. But sometimes you've had a bad day. Sometimes you don't have dinner and it's like, well, here you go. Please don't bother me right now. I'm trying to get this thing done a lot faster than if you were around, right? If everyone had unlimited time, it's like, come over, bother me for a little bit. I'll, or we'll play you want to help with dinner? Awesome. Like, that would be great. Let's all help. We'll make a big mess. Ha ha, we'll laugh about it, right? And we'll all just clean up at the end of the day. And yeah. Like, well, let's have a water fight in the middle of this dinner time. Like, no big deal, right? Because time is irrelevant. We all have a huge amount of time, right? Which is from a kid's perspective.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant, right?
I'd love for that to be the case, but that's not the world we live in.
That, unfortunately, is not the world we live in. We can create that sometimes. Maybe some pockets of weekends and things where we're, you know, just let's.
Well, it's like the concept of the Yes Day, right?
Right.
Did you watch that movie on Netflix?
I haven't yet.
Okay, it's worth watching. It's heartfelt.
I get the idea of it.
Yeah, my kids have been begging for a Yes Day ever since watching that, and we have been postponing it. One, because you know we're going into a lockdown, and you know, trying to do the stuff that they want to do. When we're not supposed to leave our health authority region, you know, isn't a great idea. But it's something that we are going to have to do with the kids.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think we've covered screen time. What do you think?
We could always talk more, but we've covered a lot of the bases. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. Ultimately, the biggest help that you can do actually at this point in time, if you like what you're listening to, is follow or subscribe to this podcast. Then you get notified when the next one comes up. We're trying to move towards at least having 2 a week now. We'll see how that goes. If we can start producing a little bit more, then maybe we'll do a few more as well. But ultimately, subscribe or follow, depending on the listener podcast app that you're going for. And then if you want to get a hold of us, we have our email. We finally set it up. It's hello@flaweddad.com. Of course, there's Instagram and Facebook as well.
That would be great if you'd follow us on social media and reach out. We'd love to chat with you, hear about any of the issues you're facing at home with your kids. And if you know of any other flawed parents that might find this interesting, please make sure to send the episode over to them. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.